was going 7 years ago.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
Ask me the questions I won't know.
That the only thing we have to fear is
history
bluffs. Hey, thanks for joining us here on History Bluffs. My name is Bob Nugent. I'm here with my co-host David Britton.
You know what?
You can't even fuck up.
You know why? I usually interrupt you. You know what fucked me up? Was not interrupting you. I said to myself, I'm not going to interrupt him this time.
You just interrupted yourself interrupting me. That's what messed you up.
Yeah, it messed me up. Usually do, and this time I didn't, and it threw me off.
How you doing, Dave?
Oh, real good.
Oh, that's good to hear. We have an amazing show today. Are you excited?
I am excited. For this guest, I am.
We're joined today by a champion of self-expression and an inspirational hero to all the boys and girls out there in TV land.
Please welcome Gamera.
Gamera, friend of
children everywhere. Nope. I'm sorry.
We couldn't get Gamera the Magic Turtle in here, but we got someone I think just as magical. David, please welcome our guest, Mr. Fred Rogers.
We're so thrilled.
Hello. Yeah. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Rogers.
Hey. Guys, it's great.
We're very happy to have
you
here.
I'm super, yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm super.
Dave and I are both big fans, and we're really excited to get into your story and learn a little more about you. We've got a list of 20 questions here that we'll ask, and then we'll get you back to your afterlife, which I'm sure is just banging.
Banging?
It's great.
What you went with? Balling out of control?
It's incredible. So many pairs of shoes and sweaters.
So many pairs. You get extra pairs when you...
Let's start at the beginning of your story, and I'd like to know, what is your birthday? What is your date of birth?
I came from a pretty poor family, and we couldn't afford a calendar.
You know, this happens a lot. You'd be surprised. People don't recall exactly what their date of birth was.
Yeah, well, live a long, full life, it's, you know...
I'm sorry, long, full life?
Long and full.
Long and full.
Long and full.
Okay.
It started isn't really the important thing.
You know, it's important to us, actually, because we try to be as concise as we can here on the show. So I'm going to have to ask you to at least ballpark it.
I'm going to have to ask you to exact it.
Okay, well, I mean...
So we want you to hit it somewhere exactly in the ballpark.
Okay,
seat A, section 41. That's where we want you to hit it.
Jeez, if you guys are going to be dicks about it.
That's going to happen. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'd say it was, you know...
1938. And how about a month and date? February
30th.
February. That's okay. let's go into that a little
we
bit.
We didn't own a calendar.
I see. So technically March 2nd, right? That would be February 30th?
Well, it depends on whether it was leap year.
Oh, okay. So maybe March 1st.
Yeah.
All right. This is already confusing. Where were you born? Do you at least remember that? Where were you born?
Yeah, California.
California, a specific town or city that you recall?
Well, we didn't own a calendar, so I don't really know.
As far as I understand, calendars do not equal atlases.
Albuquerque,
California.
What would you
use to describe a place like Albuquerque, California? Like, give us a few adjectives.
Summertime.
Summertime.
Sure.
Rain,
not an adjective at all.
And
rainy,
festive.
Sounds like a wonderful place.
Yeah, I think one of those was an adjective.
Summertime, I don't think is. You were born with a medical ailment.
Yeah,
one that I found.
I like that you're excited.
I found very interesting.
It's a big dick ailment.
Reading about what?
It just sounded so
I'm asking Fred Rogers, not you. You fucking lunatic.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Tell us about this medical ailment you had when you were a child, and you had it your whole life, but you discovered that you had it as a child.
Yeah, well, there's technical terms for it, as do the pituitary, but we just always went with good old fashioned elephant man's disease.
Elephant man's disease.
Sure. I don't know much about it. So is it a thing you're born with, or do you catch it from an elephant?
Oh, that's a good question. Mr. Rogers, please chime in.
You were born with it.
Dave was born with it.
No. The person afflicted.
Oh, it
the person afflicted was born.
So you were
with
born
it.
With this.
Yes, but my mother caught it from an elephant
and then gave it to you when you were a baby.
So women can only carry it.
mosquitoes.
Yes,
and they pass it on to male offspring.
The unfortunate thing is that if you have no male children, you're not out of the woods because it can skip a generation like a teen wolf.
Well,
like a teen wolf.
A teen wolf and
that makes sense. Skip a generation?
No, Teen Wolf, I think, was every year because his dad
was Teen Wolf. You guys are thinking of the classic film. I'm referring to the cartoon.
Oh, the cartoon Teen
spun
Wolf.
Off from.
Of course, that. Yes. Oh. It was great.
His younger sister.
Only my friend Boo knows my hairy secret. How the fuck do I remember that?
You mean Boo Radley? Is that what you're talking about?
Only my friend something yeah. Boo know my hairy
so this,
secret.
So this elephantitis, is that the correct term? Elephantitis?
Elephant man's disease.
Oh, elephant man's disease. My apologies.
Elephantitis, I think, only happens to your balls.
To your balls.
Thank you.
How did this present itself? How did this elephant man's disease, how did you discover that you had this?
My head was fucking huge.
Oh, you had a big head.
Yeah,
it was
enormous.
The Simpsons.
Like
the
20,
Simpsons.
20 pillows. 20 pillows every time I slept.
You had to have 20 pillows?
Yeah.
That sounds very unfortunate.
And we were so poor, as I said. So it was like, it takes a village to raise a child. It took our entire town to
raise
for me
your
to
head.
Sleep.
Yeah. So you've mentioned numerous times that you were very poor. What did your parents do for a living?
Nothing. That,
okay.
That's the problem. Yeah.
You were on the
precisely. And let me tell you, that is why when I was a child, mm-hmm. I said, "We're so poor, we have nothing. When I'm an adult, I'm gonna wear two pairs of shoes every day."
Okay.
Of course.
Maybe it makes perfect sense to me.
We're learning so much.
The first time that you recall watching television was a pivotal moment in your life.
Yeah.
Tell us about the first thing that you ever saw on television. It was something that, an image that stayed with you forever.
Yeah.
And made you just enthralled by the idea of television.
Well, see, I think you're confusing two different stories.
Okay, that's possible.
Because the thing that had the impact on me was the first time I saw a television, it wasn't turned on, but it was the first reflective surface I had ever seen.
Oh, so you got to see yourself.
You saw your big old head.
My face was terrifying. That stuck with me for a long time.
His head was so big you could only see his face because it was so monstrous and disgusting.
The TVs were smaller back then.
I didn't actually see a television program until I think it was the third season of my own show.
So was it your own program or was it?
Yeah.
Okay. You didn't watch another show then.
And I was like,
why
man.
Why did you watch the first two seasons?
Well, I was afraid, like, after all the procedures and all the balms, mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. my face would still look like it did that
See,
first time.
See, and Dave's not big into the Hollywood lifestyle. Many people that star in their own vehicles, television programs, movies, they don't ever watch that stuff.
Oh, it's nerve-wracking.
Like, why would they do that?
I thought you were going to say I didn't know about balms.
Dave
I know
doesn't
balm
know
is.
About balms or vehicles. He's not big. You went to college and graduated with a bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. Where did you go to school and what was your degree in?
I went to Stanford.
Stanford University. Ooh, what's the mascot fancy. Of Stanford University?
I don't know what it is now. But
what was it then?
Then it was a porcupine.
Okay. Stanford porcupine. And what was your degree in from Stanford?
I got an associate's in pottery.
Why?
Because the bachelor's would have taken me
six years. Yeah, another couple of years.
Yeah.
That's the best possible answer
to
that question.
So what did you use this degree in pottery for? Why pottery? What was the draw for you?
I was trying to construct something to cover my head.
I just wanted to make a large pot to put a ceramic pot
yeah,
for your head.
And paint the front to look like a normal human's face.
I think it'd be very difficult.
Yeah, it was. Well,
especially if you tried to paint it after you put it on your head, then you couldn't see.
You can't see in the
And
mirror.
How do you get the pot on your head?
Also true.
Therein lied the problem.
Yeah.
You have to stick your head in that kiln. Is that the right word?
Yes, it is. Very good.
That's right. Hey, did you get an associate's in pottery?
I took a couple classes.
It's community
you know,
college,
just community.
You know.
Yeah.
You know the terms, though.
Yeah,
in your mid-20s, mm-hmm. you were hired in your first job in television doing something that's very specific. So when I read about this, I was like, that's interesting. Kind of an unusual job, but a very specific job nonetheless. What was this job in television that you got?
I was working for the Smothers Brothers.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
And my job was to slap Dickie in the face. Whenever I was told to.
Okay, so they just brought you on and said, hey, grotesque monster, slap Dickie
well,
in the face.
Like, I don't want to go into a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. Mm-hmm, it's not my place to tell stories, but Dickie Smothers was a real asshole.
Oh. Right?
And, you know, his brother, the good one, used to just...
So what would he do to invoke this wrath from you? Was he...
It wasn't my wrath.
Oh, yeah. Of course not. No. I'm saying that you were this instrument of retribution.
A monster. Yeah. Yes. I was a monster.
You were a tool, a weapon.
I was a golem, is actually what Tommy used to call me.
Okay.
Oh, because you had the pot on your head.
Right.
Like the clay.
Are you listening to my story?
I
couldn't put the pot on my head.
I thought maybe you had gotten it because your golems are made of clay and you had the pot.
You know, Dave, I'm with you on that. That makes sense to me.
But well, no, you're right. I wasn't paying
attention. I guess that was just over my monster's head.
During your off hours and lunch breaks, you studied for another job that you were interested in, something that you also wanted to do with your time.
Yeah.
What was this other job?
Well, like a lot of people at the time, I wanted to be a ski instructor.
Okay, right. In Albuquerque, California? It's probably a pretty...
I never went back to Albuquerque, California.
This is Hollywood then. This is...
No.
Where
I'm not sure where you got your information.
Well, this
not
is why
Hollywood.
We're having you here to set a lot of this straight.
I moved around
Well,
a lot.
I got most of my information from the Monster Manual, so...
Ah, yeah. You son of a bitch.
That's good.
So a ski instructor. Uh-huh. Now, again, with a giant, grotesque, ugly, disgusting monster's head.
No, you don't have to do that every
time. I'm sorry. I'm just using the man's own words.
It's true. I was hideous.
Okay.
A disgusting, enormous, grotesque, monster face
right.
head.
Uh-huh.
What part of you said, you know what, I need to teach people how to ski?
You know, and this is going to sound funny, but it really wasn't about the teaching people to ski.
Mm-hmm.
I thought if I could be a ski instructor that I would get invited to parties.
Okay, just want to go to parties.
They were always having parties at those lodges.
How did that work out for you?
I was a hideous monster.
Okay,
it was
so
like, oh
not
my
good.
God, Yeti's here.
The Yeti,
yeah.
The legendary creature from the Himalayan mountains.
Oh, yeah, and when the Hulk fought Wolverine, he showed up.
Is that true?
Was that the Yeti?
I don't know. Sasquatch, I think was his name. Oh, he was in Alpha Flight. You know what? I think he was in Alpha Flight.
Thank you.
Sasquatch was a woman, a black woman. We're not getting into this right now, but very great character. Jim Lugers, if you're listening, call in and confirm.
I think that might have been the second Sasquatch. I'm no expert.
Oh, is that true?
But I think that was the second Sasquatch.
It may be true.
Who is it
and I do believe that David is correct, that it was the Yeti and Hulk number 85. Mm. Am I correct?
Yeah, he fought Wolverine. Those two
yeah,
were fighting
first,
Wolverine.
First appearance
you,
of...
sir, have read your Monster Manual.
Well, Stanley and I go way back.
Okay, this is all I was going to say. Mm-hmm. Who always pronounced it Sasquatch? Someone we know.
No. It's from Trailer Park Boys.
He would say Sam.
Once again, you've mistaken television for real life.
Oh, it's so much better. Okay.
Hey, also Canadian, though.
Sam Squanch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Sam Squanch.
Wolverine and Trailer Park Boys.
He still hasn't got Sam over. You remember in the 80s, the Battle of the Network Stars? You remember that?
Yeah.
That was real dumb.
What did that have to do with it? Okay, go ahead.
Now, you soon after this, another failed endeavor for Monster Face Asshole Man,
he never said that.
You couldn't get it going with the pottery. You couldn't get it going with
the
ski instructing.
Wait, did you get fired from the smacking the Smothers?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they got canceled.
Oh, they did
well,
get canceled.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You soon after became a host of your own children's program. Uh-huh. This is known and beloved by so many people. What is this show called? Jesus Christ. I remember that.
That was not the original name. That,
no,
it's just what stuck.
It's
what stuck.
What was the original name? If you, please.
Well, I wanted to call it Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Okay, but sure.
And we eventually got there. If you remember,
really gonna enjoy editing that. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
What's to edit?
Now on this program, you wore two very distinctive items of clothing.
Uh-huh.
You've already alluded to at least one of them I know of. Tell us what these two items of clothing were.
Well, the one that you're of course referring to is I finally got the giant piece of pottery for my head.
Oh, okay. So you got your big ceramic mask.
Two pieces. I don't know why. With my associates, I never thought of it.
A bachelor's degree, you would have learned the two
pieces.
Pieces.
They put it on each episode, and then the other was, of course, that it was never seen on television, but was my jockstrap.
Oh, your jockstrap, just to keep the old bait and tackle together there.
Yeah.
Now, I guess the question that I have is. If you were to describe it to David, so let's do that now. Why don't you describe to David what this mask looked like? What is
why is
on
he describing
this?
It to me and not just all of us?
Because I want him to describe it to you so you can be like, what?
Do I have to look into his eyes while I do it?
I prefer you did.
Okay, let's do it.
So it's like
uncomfortable already.
It's like round ish.
Okay.
But with a couple of edges.
Sure, I'm seeing it.
And then on the front, like it was huge though, because my head at that time was enormous.
Ask him how huge.
Why did you have him do this to me?
I'm sorry. Fine.
How huge was it?
It was just a lot larger than a normal person's. And so the pot, I would say like circumference, it was about 4 feet.
Okay.
And like they had to make the doors special size for it was a really terrible idea, I have to admit in hindsight. But on the front was painted a clown's face.
Okay.
But the clown, like much to my, was also just terrifying. Sharp teeth, you know, pointy features.
Who painted it? Did you paint it?
After I had the pot on my head, I painted it. And I had to use my left hand because I had hurt myself in a skiing accident. And I couldn't use my right.
Of course. Whatever can go
I got
wrong
the
with...
show right when I lost the ski instructor thing.
So like, just kismet, I believe, is what they call that. Is that right?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, sounds good. You started every episode of or Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood with the song Won't You Be My Neighbor. We all know and love it. It's a beautiful song. And you ended each episode with a different song. What's the name of that song? The song you ended each episode
The name
with?
Or the...
The name.
Oh,
we'll or start you could with the sing
name.
Part
well,
of it.
We'll start with the name. What's the song called?
Hey, where's everybody going?
Okay. I'm gonna have to lead the follow-up there, and I'm going to have to ask you to belt out a couple of bars for us, if you don't mind. Just
okay, well, I mean, this will probably take some people back to the childhood.
Oh, of course, yeah. This is
I've always... The ham I am, so here we... All right. We had a pretty good show. Met a lot of cool folks.
Mm-hmm.
I wish you would have watched it. Wish you didn't run away. Hey, there's fish tank. And I'm all alone.
There was more, but they usually cut the cameras.
Of course they did.
Oh, you horrible, awful monster man. After singing this song, this is my favorite part of the show every single day. You had a special message that you would repeat for all the boys and girls out there. The same message every single time. And it was just a couple sentences long. Can you share that message with our listeners and maybe provide a little bit of an inspirational lift for the show?
Oh, that'd be great. I could use it.
Well, every time after I got done singing my song, I'd point at the camera and I'd say, hey, he's your dad. But that doesn't mean he gets to tell you what to do forever.
That really meant a lot to me.
It
as a
still
kid.
Takes me back. Like to this day, I know that he's not my he's my dad, but he doesn't get to tell me what to do anymore, Dave.
Not forever.
Not anymore. You? Not forever.
Not forever.
You had a lot of puppets on your show.
Mm-hmm.
I was a very puppetful,
puppet heavy,
puppet heavy. The puppets all lived in a special place. Tell me, where did the puppets live on? The Mr. Rogers Neighborhood.
Oh, they had a house.
Oh, they had a house?
Yeah, next door.
Oh, just on your street. There, all
right.
The puppets lived.
It was
right
a neighborhood.
Oh.
If it was just my house, it would have just destroyed the illusion that I was going for with the show.
Oh, right. It wouldn't have been Mr. Rogers Neighborhood. It
right.
Would have just
it
been
would have just
Mr. Rogers
house.
Right.
Why,
exactly.
Why did the puppets have their own house?
Well, you said there were tons of them. They were like piled in there like immigrants.
Like immigrants, huh?
Well, I guess tell us about a few of these puppets. Just name some of them.
Yeah,
for
let's
us.
Hear your faves.
Your favorite puppets.
Oh yeah,
sure.
There was Katmandu.
Katmandu, I remember him. Very
Archie,
good.
The frog.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, I mean, the one that sticks out of everybody was King Kyle.
King Kyle.
Rhinoceros. King Kyle. Did you ever watch the show?
Yes, every
I
day.
I watched the show.
I remember King Kyle. I remember Katmandu. He was my favorite. Yeah. Of course, I remember him.
There was this really like chesty female,
a sexy puppet.
Yeah, really sexy puppet that was, but that only lasted for the first season. And they told me that it was inappropriate, but since I never watched the first season, I really couldn't attest to that.
Was this a female? You said female.
Yeah,
puppet.
It was a female.
What was her name?
You I don't know if we ever named the puppet.
Oh, well, it's a woman.
I can tell you what we backstage.
What'd you call her backstage?
My wife.
Goddamn Fred Rogers.
But hey, when's my wife gonna come out here and shake those things for the boys and girls?
Whenever I fucking want her to. Oh, you stick your hand up her ass. And
if you're a DJ at a strip club, oh, I highly recommend come out and shake it for the boys and girls. It's the best possible thing you can say.
We were going a lot of different directions that first season.
Sounds like.
Well, here's another one of my favorites. One of these puppets, Lady Elaine Fairchild, was a bit of a jerk that I always noticed on the program. She had a magic item that caused a lot of problems in this puppet house next door. Tell us what this item was. What was it called?
It really wasn't magic, even. It was just a big magnifying glass.
Okay.
And the studio lights were so bright and hot and just like just frying all the other puppets.
So Lady Elaine Fairchild would just catch things on fire with this giant glass.
Yeah, or more accurately, I mean, you're talking about a puppet as if it's a real person right now.
Well, that's, of course.
And I think we're going a little bit behind the scenes, and it was Steve, the puppeteer, was the one who was the asshole. That was just a puppet.
So he just wanted, like, to kill off other puppets or people?
Yeah,
or?
These puppeteers... The egos, the things they go through, the backstage antics, the bickering, the backstabbing,
so you got,
the drugs.
You got monster face fucking Fred Rogers over here with his bucket head, and you got Steve the puppeteer trying to catch shit on fire.
Just a jerk. Just a jerk. We wanted to fire him, but he was union.
Oh,
here I am trying to, you know, what am I going to? I'm a giant monster in a pot for a hat.
This is true.
Trying to tell people what to do.
Not a hat, more like a mask, I think.
It was more like,
you know, a helmet. A prison.
Oh, yeah, sure. The man in the clay mask.
With a clown face on.
The scary clown face mask.
Well, they said it was a kid's show, and I was like, let's do a clown, and then I painted a terrible clown face.
A terrible one.
Well, it was hard for you, I'm sure.
Yeah. It was.
Well, you're in.
Now, did you have like holes so you could see out of this thing?
Now, see, in retrospect, I wish I would have.
So you're just blindly walking around singing songs to the children.
And that's why he couldn't see the show for the first two seasons. I just got that. I just figured that out. Of course, you couldn't see the show.
They found a way to stick a TV screen up there so you could watch.
Well, I would take it off when I went home.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right.
Because I had a darkened house with all the mirrors shattered so that I couldn't see my reflection.
So you don't mind being ugly at home by yourself.
Yeah.
Well, no, he did. That's why he smashed the mirrors.
And then I would throw a blanket over myself and run out to the limo. And when I got to the studio.
The limo. What channel was your show on?
All of them. Oh, it was on every city across the nation.
I was like, when the
president
speaks.
You say the name Fred Rogers anywhere in this country, and they're going to know who you're talking
about.
They
will. He's right. He's right.
Yeah,
that's
right.
The giant monster
old
man.
Clown monster face Rogers, of course, in his limo.
Now, I thought you said at some point you got your head fixed. Is this right?
Well,
accurate?
I don't know if I would say it was fixed, but it cleared up quite a bit.
Oh, okay. So it shrunk down?
Yeah.
Did you still have to wear the thing, like, for the character?
For a while, I did. And then we did a whole story arc where there was a fire in the neighborhood.
What? That sounds awful.
Well, the magnifying glass. We were able to play mixed reality with fiction, you see?
That's the best fiction, is when there's some reality.
And it happened because there was a real fire started on live television.
Then
we were like, hey, let's roll with this. And we did this whole thing where I was burned and I wore bandages for about three seasons.
For three seasons?
Can I just say that the idea, and I know that this makes me a psychotic or something, but I just have this cartoon in my head of puppets on fire just running around back and forth, and it's making me so happy right now.
You know, let me ask you this. If it's a cartoon, how can you tell they're puppets?
Because they can see Steve with his hand
over
his
ass. Oh, yeah, it's a cartoon. I like the idea of a cartoon of puppets.
We mentioned the songs on this show, you released several albums in your career. Just name a few of those for us, the albums that you put out.
Have a Martini and Relax.
That's a good one.
Yeah, Hey Kids, Don't I Look Better?
This is good. Some good songs on
and
that
And then,
one.
Hey Kids, I Actually Do Look Better Now After That Fire was the sequel, because the first one was just kind of misleading.
The first one was before.
Yeah. The first one you were trying to pander, like, hey, kids, don't I look better? They're like, not really, but there's some good songs on this record.
And then I brought it all full circle with the Ski Down a Mountain of Hope, which had the Smothers Brothers on it.
Okay, that's good. Wow, that's good.
Nice that you guys reconciled. Yeah.
You appeared as an actor on... Mm-hmm. As an actor, I mean, portraying a character mm-hmm. on only one other program other than the Mr. Rogers Monster Hour or whatever the fuck you called it. It was a very famous show that Dave and I remember from our youth.
Yeah, sure.
And you portrayed a specific character. What show was this and what was the character you played?
I was on the A-Team.
Okay. Oh, okay. So you're on the A-Team as a television show about...
A badass.
Well, it was a television show about some men that were in the military that were mm-hmm. framed for a crime they did mm-hmm. not commit.
Mm-hmm. And if you needed help and you couldn't call anybody, you could call them.
Yes, but they were constantly pursued by the U.S. military.
I see.
And they were rebels. They actually would be considered terrorists by today's
yes,
standards.
Very much so. Al Qaeda, the television series. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A stands for Al Qaeda. Mm-hmm. What character did you play in this show?
B.A. Baracus.
No, hold on a second. I thought that Mr. T was B.A. Baracus.
I thought that was Mr. T as well. So.
Did you have to fill in for him?
Yeah, you remember. Do you remember towards the end of the run?
No.
I do.
Towards
Go
the
on.
End of the run, things were getting shaky.
Right.
And they had like a ponytail guy who mm-hmm. did special effects.
Okay.
And they had a woman.
Don't like that.
And then somebody had the bright idea. They're like, you know, why don't we have two B.A. Baracus?
That's a fucking great idea.
That is the best idea I've ever heard.
Like, this character, so fucking popular. Let's get another one, nothing like him, but
double down.
But we'd wear the same outfits.
Right.
And it'd be like, Hannibal, I'm not going to get on the plane, but people were getting tired of it because the show had been on for so long. So I was the one to be like, hey, I'll get on the plane. And they'd be like, all right, BA number one, you wait here. BA number two, jump on the plane.
See, what I envisioned was that, like, Hannibal would be like, BA, get over here with that machine gun. And both of you are just like, okay. And both do the exact same thing every time. What do you think, BA? No. And then you both.
You there's know, a very clear system of BA number one and BA number two.
You know what I like is it switches shot to shot, and it's never explained. This one shot is Mr. T, he's like, we got to get out of here. And Mr. T's like, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
And then it turns back, and he's like, well, then, you get it.
We have to get out of here.
Wait, did you have the mask on?
This is post-mask.
Oh, okay. This is post-mask.
I had a brand new face, and I was ready to storm Hollywood.
What did your face look like, just out of curiosity?
It looked like a regular mostly face. Mostly like a man's face, except with still a lot of tumors, and yes. Not nearly
like
as huge.
Like a David Hasselhoff one would say. Okay.
I was never compared. I was compared to Mr. T several times.
Okay.
Because we play the same character on the show, it's confusing for people.
You had what I consider to be an odd daily activity mm-hmm. that you did every morning. Tell our listeners what this was, this weird activity you did every morning.
Well, I had a strict routine mm-hmm. every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day I got up,
mm-hmm.
I ate breakfast, same breakfast every single day.
What did you have?
I had an avocado seed.
Okay.
Go on.
Common misconception about the avocado, mm-hmm. all the nutrients are actually in the seed.
Oh,
so I had boiled avocado seed every single morning.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, you boil the nutrients right out.
Swallow it down smooth.
I think you're confused on how boiling works.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. You're right.
And then I would have a large glass of goat milk.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious.
And a small bowl of cottage cheese with peaches.
Mm. My mom used to eat that when I was
mm-hmm.
a kid.
Yeah,
and
it's
pears.
Delicious.
She had pears and
cottage
cheese.
And so after my... Then I would go take, like, the biggest dump.
Okay.
I'd take the biggest dump, and then I would
probably painful if you're eating avocado seeds.
Well, like they're boiled.
They're boiled.
Oh, right, of course.
Yeah.
Silly of me. Did you boil them in lava? Like
the secret is one meal a day. That was all I would eat the entire day. Take one massive dump. And then I would go, I'd run 10.5 miles every morning.
That's far. That's very far.
Which, I mean, it would be well into the afternoon by the time I was done.
And then you go to the studio.
And then I think probably what you're referring to mm-hmm. is I would sit and I would, every day, I would play 14 rounds of rock, paper, scissor.
Mm-hmm. Against?
Against myself. Because by this time, I could finally look at myself in a mirror.
Oh.
Who won?
Tie every single time.
we're coming to the end of your story, and as we always have to do on History Bluffs, we have to talk about your unfortunate demise. So let's talk about that. Tell us, when did you die? What is the date of your death?
Publicly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Publicly, I died 1993.
How about a month and date?
1993, September.
September.
14th.
14th, 1993.
1993.
Mm-hmm.
That's public. That's what we think, but...
And this happens a lot on the show, too, where people are not really dead, but they're dead. So
well,
privately,
on
when
the television show is what I'm saying. Mr. Rogers was killed on the television show.
Oh, he was killed off?
1993. I thought you guys had grown up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I never really retained an audience. It was always kind of like revolving door, sure. You know what I mean?
Well, walk us through it. How did you die on the television show?
Well, I'm very big on Full Circle.
Okay, sure, of course.
And we had another puppet fire.
Oh, no.
Oh, puppet fire, too.
And we had this beautiful sequence.
Why do I not believe that only two puppet fires happened if Steve's running around with a fucking magnifying glass?
Only two on the show.
Oh, I see.
See, again, the fantasy and reality is, you know.
It's hard for us.
I know.
We're just completely
stretched. So what we did is we had the fire, and I was like, oh my God, I'm on fire.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
Then I just walk backstage, and there's a fake fire happening, and then they bring out this like totally crispy corpse,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you know, all the puppets and everybody gathers around Mr. McNeely, the mailman.
Mr. McNeely, oh, the mailman, sure.
Uh-huh. And they lay down my burned crispy corpse,
so to speak, sure.
And then they put the old mask
around
my
face,
head,
right?
And Mr. McNeely is like, "That's how I remember him." And then all the puppets
fade
joined up their
black
arms, and they all sang the song, the exit song.
The exit song, sure, yeah. That's a nice send-off.
Yeah.
So when did you actually... You are actually dead now.
Yeah.
So when did you die IRL?
It's got to be about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, okay, about 3 weeks ago. And how did you die in real life then? If could you recall?
Well, too big a dump.
Okay.
too
all those
big a dump.
Avocado seeds built up. And if our listeners wanted to go and visit you and your interred remains, where would they do that? Where are you buried?
Well, I always tell people the best place would be to go to my website.
place.
I have a blog.
From the afterlife.
It's www.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow, he was born a monster.
No dot.
All that's all one word.
It's doublee.
Oh my God, he was born a monster. Hyphen, but he turned out to be okay.
dot org.
.org.
It's a nonprofit.
It is a nonprofit. My whole life, everything was nonprofit.
Of course,
even the
of
A-team.
Course.
I didn't make any money.
Oh, yeah, really? Who made all the money for that?
I'm going to assume Mr. T, because they just...
Mr. T.
I just kind of penciled my name on the contract underneath his.
I'm starting to believe that you were never actually on this show. You just showed up one day.
No, I
like,
remember those episodes.
Oh, okay.
I still have the feather earrings.
Well, thank you so much, Fred Rogers, for joining us.
Man.
We it took Dave and I back on a wistful journey through
it
our childhood.
It was better than I even could have hoped.
And
I was getting bored. That was a long 3 weeks.
We learned a lot, and we're happy that you were able to join us. So please,
enjoy eternity. See it in your eyes, I
advise you. So come on, shorty, if you think you can roll.
Okay, that was fucking crazy.
That's going to go down as one of my faves. I can feel it right now. I don't usually like to call it this early, but...
I love the A-team
thing. A lot of great moments in that one.
That was a lot of good stuff.
I got lightheaded from laughing a couple of times.
Are here with our guest, Isaac Lanford, from Indianapolis and all over the Midwest as a Mr. Funny Man, good time doodah guy.
Hey,
I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
All right, that's a good intro.
Good time doodah.
Isaac, you put together stuff at the White Rabbit Cabaret in Indianapolis.
Yes.
You're half of... it's the Wowie Zowie show.
Yeah, Lloyd and Harvey's Wowie Zowie
Lloyd
show.
And Harvey,
yeah.
And you're Lloyd, correct?
No.
All right, well, fuck. That's who I wanted to get. How did we end up with this guy? You're also a prominent fixture at the Authors Night, Evening with the Authors at the White Rabbit Cabaret. How are things going, man? How are things
are great.
Doing? Good?
Things are really good.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, comedy. I'm comedying it up as much as I can. Yeah, it's fun.
If people wanted to find out a little bit more about you, maybe check on some information, plug some stuff, throw some stuff out there.
You know, this is the worst part of having me as a guest on a podcast.
I got nothing. Because,
no, it's like I have a Twitter, and it's on private. Which defeats the purpose of having a Twitter entirely.
It's social networking, not social privacy.
Man, I don't like Twitter. I think
it's
bullshit.
Why are you on it?
So when I am working nights, I can go on Twitter and I can see who's winning the UFC pay-per-views.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I see. Well,
that's why. And I tried it a couple of times. You know, I put in efforts or whatever. I have a Facebook account.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook.
Now you.
That's also private.
Do you do the Let's make a date shows? You're hosting those now?
Uh-huh, yeah.
After you got rid of that fucking Clemens fellow.
Clemens, I love him.
Yeah, Matt Clemens, Oskay, they started the show, but then they they went other directions, and so we kept it going at the Rabbit.
Super fun. I've been to a couple of them. It's a lot of fun to watch.
Like all the shows you've been involved in are super like.
You do Bingo Bango Burlesque at the White Rabbit.
No, you don't do that.
You don't do it. Personally, but it's White Rabbit. There. Yeah, it's probably the flagship show, the Bingo Bango.
Where can people find out more about the White Rabbit?
WhiteRabbitCabaret.com.
Go check that out. There's a lot of fun stuff that happens. Third Thursday comedy shows that are always great comics from around the Midwest that'll be there. I think Brent Terhune is
the next one, the 21st.
Yeah. So maybe go out and check that out.
Who's coming up? In July.
Oh, in July. I got some guys. Some guys coming in from...
I forgot Bob was on that fucking show.
Never mind. Damn it. but it's one of the coolest rooms. And I mean cool, like hip.
It's a great spot.
Snapping that finger. It's a lot of fun. It's right in Fountain Square, like right there. And check it out. Go check out the White Rabbit. It's a lot of fun. The White Rabbit Cabaret.
Indianapolis, Indiana. Super
great.
We
are going to get into the story of Mr. Rogers, the human normal person. discuss his life. Knowing that you're supposed to be silly and facetious, how do you think you did with the questions that you were given?
How did I do with being silly?
Yes.
I was going to say, how many do you think you got right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to guess I got none of them correct.
Well, yeah, that's true. but we'll go over it anyways.
The name of the show. I got the name of the show, right?
I'm going to give him that. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Yeah, that's a point.
Absolutely. just so you know, a couple of things that I know right off the top of my head. It's Mr. McFeely, not Mr. McNeely. and the Stanford mascot is the Cardinal, which is a tree.
Not the bird.
It's a tree. No, the Cardinal. They're the Stanford Cardinal. Not Cardinals.
That's a terrible
mascot.
Stanford
Cardinal, and it's a tree. Yeah.
Weird.
Not the... fucking bushwhackers or whatever you said. Luke and Butch from...
No, it was porcupine.
Porcupine.
Fred McFeely Rogers was born March 20th.
Wait, that was the name of the mailman.
That's right.
So he named two characters on his show after himself.
He named a lot of characters after a lot of people that he knew very well. So McFeely was his, I think, paternal grandfather's name who pretty much raised him. So that was his middle name, too. But Fred McFeely Rogers, born March 20th, 1928 in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, famous for...
Latrobe beer?
Rolling Rock. That's where Rolling Rock comes from. Rogers was born with a problem when he was a young person and lasted his entire life, which you said that he cleared up his horrible monster face, except for the tumors. but Rogers was born with red-green colorblindness. It was difficult for him to discriminate between red and green hues due to the absence or mutation in his retinal photoreceptors. Yeah, discriminate. Choose in between.
Sure, yeah, I guess. Yeah,
I'm right.
You're right.
Mr. Rogers got into TV because the first time he saw a TV show, it had, quote, something horrible on it with people throwing pies at one another, end quote. And that made him so mad. He hated TV because of this.
Because people were throwing pies.
He stated, quote, I went into television because I hated it so, and I thought there was some way of using this fabulous instrument to be of nurture to those who would watch and listen, end quote.
Wow. So,
fueled by hatred, Fred Rogers went into
that famous pie scene from some, I don't even know what movie that's in.
He studied at Dartmouth College, then transferred to Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida, where he earned a Bachelor's of the Arts in
music composition in 1951.
Ooh, not pottery. Man.
Rogers was also a trained general aviation pilot. He was also a pilot, so pretty fucking talented guy, if you ask me.
Sure.
In 1954, Rogers began working at WQED, a Pittsburgh public television station, as a puppeteer on a local children's show, The Children's Corner. That's where the bad kids go. Over the next several years, he worked with the host in an unscripted live children's program and developed a bunch of puppets and characters and music that he used in his later work for his own show. And during his off hours, he would leave the studio to study theology at the nearby Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. Rogers, however, was not interested in preaching, and after being ordained a minister in the United Presbyterian Church, he was specifically charged to continue his work in children's television. So he became an ordained minister, and I guess charging is like what they tell you.
This is what
go
out and do this.
Go and do this. And they're like, go be a TV
Why
guy.
Are they talking like that?
Because I'm a priest.
That's what all priests talk in the 50s.
His new show, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, that's a point. Each episode, Fred Rogers enters his television studio house and hangs his coat in a closet. He puts on a cardigan zipper sweater and removes his dress shoes and puts on a pair of blue sneakers. Rogers,
that's a point, right?
Shoes. You said it. He said it. And then when I asked the question, he said something completely different. But I'll give him a point for that.
I'll
fucking
give him a point.
Yeah, all right.
Rogers wore sneakers on the set because they did not make noise when he walked, and every sweater that he wore on the show was hand-knitted by his mother. Every sweater he ever wore on the show. That's pretty cool. In the closing of each episode, he sings, "It's Such a Good Feeling," as he removes
his... Such a very good feeling to know you're alive.
That's right. As he removes his sneakers and puts his shoes back on, and then switches out of his sweater and back into his coat, and at the end of the episode, Rogers reminds viewers, quote, "You always make each day a special day. You know how. By just your being you or yourself. There's only one person in the whole world that's like you, and that's you. And people can like you just the way you are." End quote. Oh, that was always very nice.
What a nice man.
The puppets.
Sounds like a fucking square.
When I was a kid, the puppets were the part that I could not handle. Like the
that's
puppets,
my favorite part.
They're terrible puppets. If he was a puppeteer,
awful.
Why are they so shitty?
They're terrible puppets, and they look fucking creepy as
they're
shit.
Real tiny.
Yeah.
They're real tiny.
Ugh. I did not like the
puppets.
Was
that Puppet Land or Imagination Land or where did he go?
The puppets.
The land of make-believe.
The neighborhood of make-believe.
Oh, the neighborhood.
Is the
it
fictional,
was a neighborhood.
The fictional kingdom inhabited by hand puppet characters on the children's television series Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Yeah, I thought they were hand puppets. That
it included,
weird.
Do you remember any of the characters?
There was King Friday.
King Friday, yeah. King Friday the 13th.
That's funny.
Queen's,
I remember the little cat.
Yes. Queen Sarah Saturday, which Sarah was his wife's name. Prince Tuesday, their child, X the Owl, Henrietta Pussycat, and Daniel Striped Tiger, and many, many more. Lady Elaine Fairchild was my favorite because she was terrifying, and everybody was just like, "Ah, she's just an old crank," and it's like, "No, she's evil." Lady Fairchild is an outspoken, cranky schemer who runs the museum go-round. And one of her prized possessions is her boomerang, toomerang, zoomerang, which she can use to turn the neighborhood upside down. I swear to God, I didn't make that up.
This is all madness.
Although a frequent antagonist, she is not portrayed as evil, but as someone who challenges authority, particularly King Friday's authority. So she was just an anarchist.
I gotta go back and watch this show.
With her boomerang, toomerang, zoomerang.
That's a great name.
Fuck. Rogers recorded several albums, including Around the Children's Corner, which I don't know what this guy is with corners. Let's Be Together Today, Mr. Rogers Sings for Those Times When, ...
What?
A Place of Our Own, Won't You Be My Neighbor, You Are Special, and my favorite, Come On and Wake Up.
What is that?
Rogers' only true acting credit came in 1996 when he made a guest appearance.
This could be the A-Team.
On the CBS drama, you want to guess?
I hope it's Baywatch.
I can't. No, 90210.
Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. As a reverend scheduled to visit the town's church.
Oh, I guess A-Team was before
that. The part came about after the show's executive producer learned from his wife that, quote, it was the only show that Rogers watched. It's the only thing he would watch. He's just like, television is fucked up, but Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman is the truth, and I got to be part of that.
That is great.
So he's like,
I feel like I enjoyed some episodes
of
that show.
Yeah, I'm going to be on Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman.
It's a little House on the Prairie-ish feel.
This is weird. Mr. Rogers woke up every day his entire life that he could recall at 5:30 a.m. every day. He went to bed every night at 9:30 p.m. every night. He also took an hour nap every day at the same time.
Amazing.
And he had a little bit of an odd activity that he did every morning. He would go for a swim naked every day.
Where?
Wherever he could go.
Wherever he could.
The way that they described it, when I read a bunch of different articles talking about this, and I found one interview in particular. He was just like, there used to be private pools where you could go and swim in the nude, apparently in the 70s and 80s, and he would just go and do that.
Wow.
And that was his bag. He's like, look, I'm normal and I love kids and everybody's special, but I like to swim naked. So just let me have that.
You know what? Nothing wrong with that.
No.
Another crazy thing about him that I found out, he answered, according to his wife and his representation, he answered every piece of fan mail he ever received.
He must have gotten so
up
much.
To his death. Like, that's crazy that he handwrote every response for every child that was like, he, next to Santa Claus, got the most mail in his entire life from, I assume, children.
I don't see how that's possible.
No idea.
Unless he was everyone, fuck off.
Fuck off, Fred Rogers. Fuck off. Good. It's a good feeling to tell you the fuck off. See you in Puppet Land, bastard. Fred Rogers died of stomach cancer at the age of 74 years old on February 27th, 2003, and is interred at Unity Cemetery in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, where they make the old Rolling Rock.
Nice.
I enjoy a Rolling Rock.
Yeah, not really.
Did you, in your investigation, did you know I have young children that Daniel Tiger has his own show now.
Yeah, so
what? With Prince Tuesday.
So Daniel Tiger, the character from this book, his son has
from this book
or from the show. Sorry, that character that we grew up with has a son now that is a tiger, and it's
Daniel
a cartoon.
Tiger's
his
neighborhood.
Son's a tiger.
And they use like the Fred Rogers songs, and he rides the trolley, and it's a cartoon.
So it's keeping.
Yep.
It's a cartoon or it's a puppet.
It's a cartoon.
Yeah. Okay,
but the puppets, I'm telling you, Google those fucking puppets. And I know I say that a lot to you, but you got to go Google them fucking puppets, Dave. Yeah. Let's tabulate the score.
Two.
I think two. 10%. That's an F, but it was fun, and we learned a lot about Fred Rogers. God damn it.
Yeah. It's good.
And his
too
silly,
much,
silly monster face. Isaac
exactly
Lanford,
enough,
thank you so much for doing this,
man.
It was
a
lot of fun.
I am thrilled.
And
to do it.
Check out the White Rabbit Cabaret in Fountain Square in Indianapolis. You can follow Dave on Twitter at Lasersaurus. You can follow History Bluffs on Twitter at History Bluffs. You can follow Isaac, but
you
will never see anything.
No, you can't, because it's private.
Unless you've got some hot tips on the UFC action. He does not want any part of it. We are on the web, historybluffs.podomatic.com and facebook.com/historybluffs. And thanks, everybody, for checking out our 50th episode. It was a lot of fun to make, and we were really happy with it.
This is
51. This is 53, actually. Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is 52, because I'm going to put you in between the two we've already
That's
recorded.
Why the streamers didn't come
down.
The 50 was like a best of with a bunch of clips.
And it was a lot of fun to make, and the response that we got from it was really great. All the past guests that we've had that are like big comedy stars like Emo Phillips and James Domi and those guys were kind enough to say nice things about making the 50th episode. So that was pretty cool. Yeah. So thanks
Graham
for checking
Elwood
that out.
Chimed in and
Graham
says,
Elwood. What a fella. What a fella. But we're very happy to keep doing this, and we'll see you next time here on History Bluffs.
History Bluffs!
I hate it when you do that. Neighbor. I just got that Fred Rogers is a lot like Ned Flanders. I never put that together.
Oh, yeah. History Bluffs!